Shares of Target under fire again. My gosh, this company trading down about 3% right now as it tries to deal with this scandal, a scandal of its own making. Well, the person at the heart of the scandal, the one that had designed some really questionable Satan-inspired products, well, this person is now out saying, not my fault, not my fault, of course. No, it's just the religious right's fault that this has become such an ordeal. We have a lot of developments on the Target front. This company very much in so many ways echoing what we saw over at Bud Light. So we got to discuss all of it. Good to have you here today. Back from a long weekend, Memorial Day weekend. I hope you guys had a terrific one. I certainly did. I spent a little time at the beach. Yeah, you can go over to my Facebook or my Instagram account to see those pictures. Anyway, it was wonderful to get away. I want to point out today's show, as always, is brought to you by our friends over at LegacyPMInvestments.com. Again, LegacyPMInvestments.com. Their number is 1-866-589-0560. As we're dealing with this rather significant issue, of course, on Capitol Hill. A lot of you may be calling into question some of the investment strategies maybe that you've followed. I mean, when you look long-term at the challenges that we are facing as a nation, inflation is just one of them. So if you're interested in diversifying your portfolio, give my friends at Legacy PM Investments a call today, 1-866-589-0560. All right, let's get to the heart of what's going on, shall we? Very quickly, I just want to say hello, Jake. Good to see you again. Tim, wonderful to have you here. Chilongo, again, we are doing the program live on YouTube right now. So if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, and by the way, I hope all you guys are listening there or following the podcast as well. Please, if you could leave a review and 5 stars, always much appreciated. You can watch this, of course, live on YouTube where we talk a little bit back and forth. Anyway, getting over to what's going on here at Target. Are you familiar with this person? This would be the designer that somehow really got everyone pretty darn mad because, well, you can see in this particular Instagram photo that he posted, he's sporting some of his own designs, which include Satan respects pronouns. By the way, it's like super confusing because this person goes by the name of Eric Carnell, and is a gay transgender man, which means this person would be a biological woman attracted to males. I mean, I can't even quite keep up. I really can't. But just know, this is the designer, anyway, of some of those products at Target. Not actual, by the way, Satan-inspired products. No. There was none of that. They just had the tuck-em and the binders, that kind of stuff for kids and some happy rainbow shirts. But because this person, Eric Carnell, was the designer of those products, you know, people started doing a little digging, and it turned out he had a whole brand that was all sort of Satan-inspired. And that is the thing that really kind of pushed people over the edge. I mean, I think Americans are very compassionate. We are a very, very compassionate society. But at some point when you start saying, okay, now we're going to glorify and reward somebody who's frankly, you know, really kind of into some rather deviant, is that fair for me to say, stuff, and worshiping Satan with the paraphernalia that is being sold, well that's kind of pushing people a bit too far. And so you say, what the heck was Target thinking? I'm going to get to that because Target seems to have its own version of Alyssa Heinerschneid right there as the vice president of brand marketing, and there are reasons perhaps for why he wanted to push this particular designer. We're going to get to that in a second, but back to the products themselves and this person, Eric Carnell's reaction. So, you know, everybody's upset because they saw that Eric Carnell also made products such as the one he's wearing, if you're watching this on video, such as this one, Satan respects pronouns. That's the t-shirt, of course, that he's wearing in his Instagram picture. And then there's this message that he put out on the website, abprolin.com. Satan loves you and respects who you are. You're important and valuable in this world, and you deserve to be treated with respect. I've been thinking a lot about the Satanic Temple and to a lesser extent, the Church of Satan. Goes on to basically applaud the Church of Satan with the idea that somehow the LGBTQ community is more welcome there. I mean, this is bizarro stuff, all right? Like, bizarro. And it's making Dylan Mulvaney is appearing like, you know, some kind of
impressive carrying skills, right? I got some Bud Lights for us. So I kept hearing about this thing called March Madness, and I thought we were all just having a hectic month, but it turns out it has
Satan inspired product designer. Okay. So like it's pushing people pretty far. And I think moms are like, okay, you know, wait a second. We were okay with maybe a few rainbow shirts here and there, and we want to be all, you know, positive, but you guys are just, you're crossing a line, and it's a line from which you can't really return. So when I look at the stock price today, I mean, it is incredible. This stock every day has just been going down, down, down. Since I've been on the air with you, it's gone down even further, now down off 3.36%. As we began the program, it was down 2.9%. It's down nearly $5 a share, $4.66 a share today. It's lost more than $10 billion worth of market cap, trading at $134.27 a share. Just to keep it in perspective, you know, it was up around $160 before all this started. And the other thing I think you got to keep in mind here is the volume of activity. So traders are furiously selling this one. And I know that because when I look at the volume of sales, nearly 6 million shares have traded hands today. Now, the 65-day average, like what is the average amount that this stock target, ticker symbol TGT, actually trades? It's like 3.5 million. So it's like nearly double, right? Like nearly double. People are like, get rid of this as fast as you can. Because you see what they're waking up to is this very much could be a whole Bud Light situation all over again, where people are going to say, I'm not into it. You know, I don't need to shop at Target. Why do I need to shop at Target? I can get all the same products elsewhere, like Walmart. Anyway, it's actually bizarre. So when I said maybe the company was having or suffering from its marketing department being a little too in the Bud Light Alyssa Heinerstein camp, well, I may be onto something here. Let me share with you. This is a picture that came from Daily Wire of Carlos Savreda. Now, Carlos Savreda is the head of marketing there, or VP, vice president of brands there at Target. And this particular gentleman, again, vice president of brands, good job. He is part of a group that is called GLSEN. It stands for Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network. And he's a board member there. It's an advocacy group for K-12 transgenderism and gay status. Now, again, like there's a difference between being compassionate and saying, you know, if someone is struggling with any of this, we want to make sure that, you know, they have opportunities for help or opportunities to recognize what they are, if that's the case that maybe, all right, like, let me just get that out there. Like, this is not, but when you somehow then say, okay, we're going to take this and not only do like our pride display with our baby t-shirts, but we're actually going to push this idea of the tuck them in swimsuits. And we're going to push the idea of girls having to restrain their developing breasts. Like, then you're getting a little out there, okay? Like, do you really need to sell that at Target? Because last I checked, the actual percentage of transgender people in the country, it's like 0.1%. I mean, I know you're heading for a higher number at this rate because everybody's all confused. Saying, wait, saying, what am I? I mean, these kids that don't even understand heterosexual sexuality yet. And yeah, you're forcing this stuff. So I'm telling you, Target is in trouble just like Bud Light was in trouble. Speaking of which, let's take a look at shares of Bud, shall we? Bud is the ticker and oh, my gosh. Wow, you guys are pretty powerful. I'm looking at shares of Bud right now, Anheuser-Busch. They're down 4.11%, another $2.35 a share at $54.80. So you see these boycotts have long legs, as they like to say. Really long legs. Because nobody is going to be caught drinking a Bud Light. Have you seen some of the pictures? I have. Over Memorial Day weekend, people were posting pictures in liquor stores, and it was like the beer aisle was sold out except for Bud Light. I was away. I was down in Florida. I'm doing my part for Florida. I know that NAACP doesn't think you should even go. Remember the travel warning that they came out with to Florida? But I did my part. Great, great, great state. Had some great weather. Had a great time. Anyway, I didn't see anybody drinking Bud Light. In all seriousness, it's really, really become quite funny. So this is just nuts. You know, if I don't give you advice, guys, on stocks necessarily. You know, occasionally I'll make a very macroeconomic comment or sort of a macro comment about the company. But this, again, is sort of like an easy one to say. And where are the Wall Street analysts? Like, where are they? Nobody's coming out and saying anything. You've only got two analysts that ever bothered to say anything about Bud Light, Anheuser-Busch. One was from HSBC, who put a hold on the stock. Couldn't even tell you to sell it. Well, you know, if you held the stock, you would have lost more money. And then the other one was from JP Morgan. And actually, I didn't say sell. I don't think he might have even had a, gosh, dare I say a buy? Whatever it was, it didn't make any sense. Like, nobody's actually willing to say the truth. And the reason for that is because of something called ESG. And a big company called BlackRock. We're going to get into that in a second, but more just on. So Carlos Saavedra, he apparently, according to Target's website, leads Target's brand stewardship and campaign development for initiatives, including holiday, back to school, college, Target run discovery, inclusive marketing, and digital and social engagement. So this inclusive thing, it's just that it's kind of getting a little wacky. And what's amazing to me is how little these companies care about their core customers. I mean, granted, yes, Target went and like raced to take down some of these products or move them to the back of the store. They, of course, immediately distanced themselves from Eric Carnell and his designs. In fact, you cannot buy them anymore on Target. They immediately cut that one off. So he's very, very angry. I will share with you some of the things he said over the weekend. This would be on the Instagram account he has. And I quote, "Whilst all brands who partnered with Target this Pride season have been impacted, I feel as I have been dealt the worst hand. My work was likely pulled following false accusations of being a Satanist and of marketing my work to children. Both claims have been debunked numerous times, but members of the religious right refuse to back down." Okay, I'm confused. So you're not Satanist. Okay, good. Okay, you just market products that refer to Satan in a very positive, passionate way. Because if I go back to your other Instagram post, Eric, I see that you're saying that Satan is hope, compassion, equality, and love. So naturally, Satan respects pronouns. He loves all LGBT plus people. Who is this, fake news again? This is like Bud Light. Remember when the CEO of Bud Light was like, ha, it's just misinformation. Misinformation, just one campaign, one designer. Target's really not saying much here. So again, it's like echoing the exact same path that we saw Bud Light and Anheuser-Busch take. But this Eric Carnell is trying to say that this is all misinformation. Okay, great. You're not a Satanist. You just sell Satan products. And we're supposed to be cool with that? Target's supposed to be cool with that? Oh, it's just the religious right. Gosh darn it, those religious right. At it again. Picking on me. He goes on. Let me share this with you. "At the time of writing, I am unaware of what will happen to the rest of my collection stock, as well as the enamel pin set and tank top I designed that were due to be launched by Target in due course." He said that Target has not made contact with him. I'm sure. Like, the people at Target are like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. How did we wind up in this situation? Three letters. ESG. Environmental Social Governance. Your CEI score came into being too, right? Because that's that score that they give you to make sure that you're friendly enough to all different communities, specifically the LGBT community. I mean, it's kind of like a form of bullying of these companies, like do this or else. That's what's happening now, because like some of these groups are like, hey, Target, you either put that back or else. So just like Bud Light, it's like they're damned if they do, they're damned if they don't. Because if they put it back, well, their core customer, you know, moms, we're not too keen on this. Hello. And if they take it down, well, then they have this whole community saying, hey, wait a second, that's not fair. And so they're caught in a very challenging spot. But this is the reason, can I remind you all, why companies don't usually, if they're smart, wade into politics. But it's like the rules have been thrown out the window. I don't know. Everybody's trying to like jump over themselves to impress Joe Biden more or Larry Fink. So Larry Fink is the head of BlackRock, and he's a very smart man. I've interviewed him many times, and he figured out, well, one, how to grow his asset management company into the largest asset management company in the world. So good for Larry. He also figured out how to keep this thing going. I mean, I think it's like a giant Ponzi scheme, frankly. I'll just tell you, if you ask me, this ESG nonsense has nothing to do with actually real market value and everything to do with what a whole bunch of woke people think other companies should be doing. And if you don't play by our rules, well, guess what? We're not going to give you the right kind of approval. And therefore, you're not going to get investment by all these big pension funds that invest their money because they ideally think that they're going to have something to live off in retirement with companies like BlackRock. So it's this bizarre cycle where the big companies, Vanguard sort of in this camp too, they get to go out there and say, okay, well, we like this one, we like this one, we like that one. And if you don't have the right ESG score, if you don't have the big pride display this June, well, then we may not invest in your company. I mean, think about like what Exxon was dealing with. Exxon being an energy company and it was struggling with its ESG rating. Let me just say, like, the reason markets work the way they work, the reason we have the capitalist system we do, the reason the American economy is as successful as it is because historically, we haven't valued companies, corporations on all that other stuff. I mean, granted, you got to be an upstanding member of society, et cetera, right? There's a certain playbook of rules that you go by, but we don't expect companies to wade into political issues such as Disney did. Don't forget, down in Florida, where I just was, we expect companies to kind of just make their product. And yes, behind the scenes, they get some lobbyists and they've got trade unions that are working on their behalf. And that's the political stuff. But you don't expect the companies themselves to be out there front and center championing some kind of cause, especially a cause that might tend to, like this one, inspire a lot of passion on both sides. Because that is, last I checked, and I didn't need a marketing 101 course for this, that is a surefire way to lose some customers. And you would think that people with all their fancy degrees in marketing would understand that. But no, fundamentally, they just simply don't. And it's a little disappointing. But you see how this is all going to come full circle. I mean, did you see Ford's commercial? By the way, this is a pretty good commercial. I want to show it to you again, just for fun. It's a good commercial, but people even at Ford or that used to own Fords are like, wait a second, the Raptor? Ford is very proudly showing off its very gay Raptor. Take a peek. Not bad, right? I mean, I think it's a pretty good commercial as far as commercials go. I'm sure the marketing department liked it. But again, it's a question of who's your customer? And, you know, granted, I'm sure they want to sell to a portion of the population. If we were to estimate that, and you know, the last number I saw is maybe roughly 10% of the population is homosexual, then you clearly don't want to ignore that market, right? But you also ought to do more market research and try and figure out of that 10%, how many would actually be buying a Ford Raptor? And then maybe you get some kind of targeted marketing campaign. I don't know. Look, it's a good commercial, but it tells you, it gives you insight into where this company's head is at. It's where all their heads are at. I mean, why else would you put a biologically born man on the cover of Sports Illustrated, swimsuit edition? Like, why does that happen? I think we know the answer because, again, they're trying to curry favor. And this currying favor is becoming increasingly concerning because it affects us as a society. It affects our economy. Companies are not going to be as successful as they have been in the past because customers aren't going to buy their stuff, okay? Maybe that leaves a new opportunity, but they just have to make sure that those other companies don't get squelched by the ESG crusaders of the world that are making the decisions on what gets money put into it and what doesn't. This particular brand, Abpralin, that was created by Eric Carnell, this particular brand is apparently not in operation right now, as I understand it. Apparently, there were so many people going online, this is the story anyway, to buy these things that Eric Carnell had to shut down the website. You know, I don't know exactly what's going on because if business is that good, why is he moaning and groaning about how awful this is? Quote, I have been dealt the worst hand of any of the brands that partnered with Target. You know, it's not fair to me because the religious right, you know, that whole thing. Anyway, it's going to be a tough one for the company. I'll be curious to see what they come out and say, but they don't really have much they can do here. It's just kind of a crazy world, and it's getting crazier by the day. You know, John Kerry, right? John Kerry, he would be the climate czar, if we could call him that, so to speak, for the Biden administration. You know, he's the one that's out there collecting awards, showing how great he is at climate initiatives, but he has to actually travel on a private jet to get the award. And then when he's asked about it, his whole shtick is, well, you know, some people just have to. Like, I have to. I wouldn't be able to get around if I didn't. My time is so important. Yeah. All right. Well, he's got a new idea. There's a new report out saying that John Kerry would like U.S. farmers to radically transform their food production so that they can meet net zero emission goals by 2030. That's like in 6.5 years. It's kind of a timetable here. And, well, this is, again, the special presidential envoy for climate, and he wants to make sure that, ooh, those cows, all those cows with all their emissions, we get that under control. And so in an effort to do so, is going to try to push this idea that farmers must totally change how they are producing food. And I'm not really sure how that happens, because if you're going to eat steak or hamburgers, or if you're going to drink milk, then you're going to need cows. Are you not, John Kerry? And so how do we get rid of cows? Are you going to make it so expensive for kids to drink milk? How's that fair? You want to talk about a two-tiered economy. Milk's going to get so expensive because John Kerry's reducing the number of cows that can be here in America? Or maybe we're just going to all start eating tofu? Or better yet, this is great, bugs? I kid you not. This was actually proposed in a recent science journal magazine where they were talking about how for much of the world, eating insects is neither strange nor disgusting nor exotic. This is from Live Science. In southern Africa, for example, Mopani worms, the caterpillars of emperor moths, are popular snacks. The Japanese have enjoyed aquatic insect larvae since ancient times. And this other one, chipulines, I don't know how to say it, otherwise known as grasshoppers. There you go, grasshoppers. It's a Spanish name. So chapulines, they're eaten in Mexico. But these traditions are noticeably absent in European and European-derived cultures like the United States. So, what do you know? We got a task force and John Kerry's leading the way. We are going to make sure that we have food production at net zero emissions by 2030. Wow. Like, I mean, is this worse than gas stoves, guys? I mean, like, you tell me. They'll probably say, oh, this is like fake news. This isn't really what they want. And they're just trying to say, hey, you know, like, people are going to eat bugs. John Kerry didn't say that, in fairness. That's just another article from a science magazine saying, why don't Americans eat bugs? Why don't Europeans eat bugs? Everybody else eats bugs. But that'll be the next layer. That's what's crazy. That's what's really crazy. All right. One other story just in business news I want to alert you on. The Theranos CEO, Elizabeth Holmes, is scheduled to be moving to her new home. That would be a federal prison. She's been sentenced to the next 11 years there. You know that she was overseeing that basically that hoax of a company. It really encapsulated and showcased, I think, some of the greed among the elites in Silicon Valley. She sold them this idea that you could just use a pinprick and get a little bit of blood and determine what diseases you would be able to have. And it turned out the whole company was a total sham. And she was, according to the courts, basically defrauding investors of all this money. I think Rupert Murdoch himself admitted to losing some massive amount, like maybe $100 million. Anyway, so she went or is going to jail today. That is happening. So Texas is the location. Another item in the news, very sad, coming to us from Moscow. Early on Tuesday morning, Moscow officials reported that they saw some damage there in several of the buildings. Apparently, they were bombed. Ukraine is not admitting full on to this. It's not clear that they came from Ukraine, these drone attacks, but the Russian Defense Ministry is, of course, blaming the attack on Ukraine. A Ukrainian presidential advisor said that Kiev had nothing to do with this, while adding that, quote, of course, we are pleased to watch and predict an increase in such types of attacks. I mean, this is it's so sad, you know, because it's just so sad on all sides to see lives being lost like that. Really awful. Anyway, let's turn for a moment here to the markets. NVIDIA. You guys like AI? Amazing, right? Absolutely amazing. AI is what the story lately has been all about. Well, NVIDIA is the company that's just on fire because of some investments they made in this technology. They've hit a $1 trillion market cap at the start of trading. You get shares trading around 409. Company would need to hold above that 404 mark. It did indeed. So it opened at that $1 trillion level. We'll see how it continues to go here. But AI is absolutely fascinating, pretty terrifying in many ways. Also, pretty remarkable in others. At this moment, it's trading up nearly 3%, $400.51 a share, I should say. So we'll see whether or not it's able to actually close above, did open above that $1 trillion market cap. You know, it's important. This is a Santa Clara-based company. It's important, I think, that the U.S. at least be leading the way when it comes to AI. So I'm glad to see it's a U.S. company. Intel, however, a little behind the behind where it should be. One would have expected Intel to have been doing a little bit better, but NVIDIA is sort of the company everyone's talking about. Meanwhile, you got debt ceiling negotiations continuing on. We got the market down a bit. Investors don't like the hoopla around all of this. I don't like it. I don't like it. You know, they're not going to default. I don't think we have to worry about that. But I get really angry that we're at the point in time where we even have to have this discussion. And yes, for sure, we cannot have $31.4 trillion in debt. We cannot continue to spend in such insane ways. However, we also can't default. So this is the time when you actually do need some adults out there in Washington, D.C. You need some adults that can say, okay, let's actually come to some kind of negotiation. I was a little surprised. None of these politicians actually want to do that, right? Because it's more expedient for them to just be extremely populist and be, oh my gosh, we should never sign on to this deal. It's a horrible deal. And both sides are saying it, by the way. You get AOC saying it. You get DeSantis, interestingly, saying it. And I would just say this, guys, you know what? it may not be perfect, but let's be realists. Let's be realists here. And no, we can't continue on in this way. I mean, why do you think I talk about this all the time? We had Charles Thorngren again on the show recently, the CEO of Legacy Precious Metals, who said exactly this, that America is bankrupt. We are bankrupt and it cannot continue. But at this particular moment in time, I mean, hey, we are banana republic enough. Thank you very much. Do you really actually just want to default on your debt too? I don't think so. Because you know how bad that would be? Like, I can't even begin to tell you how absolutely catastrophic it would be for our economy. Look, I started at Goldman Sachs trading emerging debt markets, specifically those banana republics like Venezuela, Argentina, which had plenty of defaults, right? Think about Argentina. You want bonds like Argentina, Mexico, Brazil? I don't think so. But, you know, who's going to let a good opportunity get in the way of actually trying to do their job? Here is Ron DeSantis over the weekend trying to have his cake and eat it too. Think about that. Think about what he says right here.
Well, prior to this deal, Kaylee, our country was careening towards bankruptcy. And after this deal, our country will still be careening towards bankruptcy. And to say you can do $4 trillion of increases in the next year and a half, I mean, that's a massive amount of spending. I think that we've gotten ourselves on a trajectory here really since March of 2020 with some of the COVID spending. It totally reset the budget, and they're sticking with that. And I think that that's just going to be totally inadequate to get us in a better spot. Look, in Florida, we run big budget surpluses. We have a $1.2 trillion economy, but our debt is only $17 billion, second lowest per capita in the country. But we make tough choices, and we make sure that we look forward to the long haul, obviously, in Washington, D.C.
Okay, blah, blah, blah. And so Florida is great. And yeah, you know, states have a different set of rules, right? They actually have to balance their budgets. I love New Hampshire because it's written into the state constitution. They have to balance their budget. So we don't have that rule on the federal level. You know, we can look at whether or not we want to institute something like that. We could certainly look at getting some more hawkish fiscal hawks back into Washington, D.C. But when you're up on the 11th hour, guys, like, you don't want to default. We do not want to be Argentina. So this is a little bit just political talk. I mean, you know he's smarter than that. I think so. Although, didn't he go to Harvard too, along with Alyssa Heinerschneid, the head of marketing at Bud Light? He went to Harvard, he went to Yale, so he knows. He knows how bad it would be if we were to default on our debt, but, you know, he's playing this for all it's worth. This is what they do. And I don't like it because I am a pretty normal person, much like you guys, and while we shouldn't be spending this much, when you're up on the 11th hour and you're actually faced with default, I mean, you got to actually make a deal. Politicians don't know how to make a deal. They really don't. I mean, that's the problem. You need business people because they know how to make deals. They know how to give some. And, you know, in this particular case, I think there's a lot for McCarthy to be able to point to that are wins. And yet for the Republicans to just dig in their heels and for the Democrats to dig in their heels, it's not in the best interest of the country. Now, is it? Quick shout out. You heard me mention Charles Thorngren, who said months ago, look, we're bankrupt, America. If you are interested in learning more about how to invest in gold, or you want to do it right there on the website itself, just go over to legacypminvestments.com today or give him a ring, 1-866-589-0560. But look, the reality is we're getting messed up. We're getting messed up because we get too many ideas that have nothing to do with actually the health of our society, the health of our economy, and the strength of our military. And so at some point, this is going to catch up to them. I look at this thing with Target, and I'm like, wait a second. You know, if you're liberal and you voted for Joe Biden and you believe in liberal policies, does that mean you're still okay with Eric Carnell designing some of your kids' merch at Target? Like, is this really... When this particular designer is pushing Satan, like, that's who you want designing the kids' clothes? I don't think so. So politically speaking, this is not necessarily helpful for Democrats. I mean, they think that nobody's going to notice, right? That's the real issue. And so I do think when it starts showing up on investors' radar, when you see a stock tanking in the way that Target has tanked, when you see Anheuser-Busch tanking in the way that Bud has tanked, well, then you get yourself a situation where it becomes something that the mainstream media cannot ignore. And your average person that maybe voted for Democrats is sitting at home saying, well, what's that? Wait, what's that? What? And that's actually perhaps what it's going to take. They keep wanting to paint conservatives as somehow not accepting, not being compassionate enough. And I think they get it all wrong on that. And they're pushing the envelope, as we might say, too far. I wanted to open it up to some questions and some comments. Michael Donnell, my hero, you're talking about Milton Friedman. Milton Friedman, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant economist, of course. Great to have all of you here. Some of you counting, talking about gold as well, because, look, investing is a tricky environment right now. Some of you like it, some of you hate it. So make your own decision. That's what I always say. I have my view on that and you have yours. Everybody's concerned again about this $32 trillion in debt. I get it. I get it. Like, how do we get here? Think about that. How did we get here? Lisa Roberts weighing in. She's still very much a Trump supporter. She's saying that the establishment hates him, and that must be a good thing. I mean, look, thank you for the wonderful compliments as well from so many of you. I had a wonderful time in Florida. I really did. I was down there just for a few nights and in Palm Beach, actually, and just really loved the weather, loved the beach, loved seeing some friends down there. It was a very nice thing to get away, but it's also good to be back here with all of you as well. So if you haven't, do me a favor, our website's still kind of under construction, so bear with me, but go over there because there's a little pop-up. You can sign up for my email and just sign up because that's all up and we're getting that all up and running, and I'd love to have you there so I have a direct way to communicate with you. If you would, make sure you subscribe to this channel if you haven't already. It's really important. And share the clips. Share the clips with your friends. And if you also would, this is my last request. Well, there's three requests from you today. If you also would, just go over, if you haven't, to the actual podcast, which is on Apple Podcasts. And there's a way, especially if you're on your phone, you just go to the top right-hand side and there's three little dots and you can follow it and hopefully leave a nice, nice review and all that good stuff. Anyway, it is wonderful to see you all here. I know we're not, I think we're on the same page on the debt stuff. You know, I don't want us to encourage any more of this debt, but at the same time, I'm just trying to be a realist here, right? Like, guys, like, we can't default. And I wish that there would be a little bit more of that practicality. It is actually one thing that Donald Trump brought to the White House. I'll tell you a brief story. I remember interviewing him at the White House at the time that Khashoggi, it came out that the Saudis were behind the Khashoggi murdering. And I asked him about whether this would change any of our trade deals with Saudi Arabia. And he was ever the realist and said, absolutely not, because it's 500,000 jobs. Now, whether you agree with that or not, we don't have to debate that. I just thought, however, it was fascinating to me how he was like, wait, this guy, he wasn't even an American citizen, blah, blah, blah. They had their internal, he's like, I'm not going to lose 500,000 American jobs that are reliant on us having these trade agreements with the Saudis because of that. So it's just that kind of practicality. When he went in and he filled up the SPR, that would be the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, and everybody was like, ah, he's just giving a handout to all those oil companies because oil was trading at like $20 a barrel. And he's like, no, it's trading at $20 a barrel. Like, we should fill up the SPR when it's at $20 a barrel, right? And then what do you know, Joe Biden comes in and you got oil marching towards 100. And so Joe has to actually use the oil that Donald Trump put into the SPR. This is what I'm just saying. Like, we need, whether it's him or whether it's Glenn Youngkin, keep an eye on him in Virginia, Vivek Ramaswamy, who came on the show the other day, just a brilliant guy, 37 years old, has built many hundreds of million dollar companies, biotech companies, just has a different way of thinking about things. These are all people from business, whether it be Youngkin, who came from Carlyle. He worked in the banking sector and built a lot of companies up in the private equity business, whether it's Vivek, who built his own companies. I appreciate that different angle because I think business people are realists and we got to get stuff done. right? We can't just dig in our heels and have temper tantrums because somebody's going to notice us over on that, what, that station that nobody watches anymore, right? Fox News. You don't watch them anymore, do you? Hey, did I tell you who's coming on the program tomorrow? The author of the new Tucker book that's coming out very soon. He is going to share with us some of his thoughts on what may have gone down. So I will be very interested to hear that. Make sure you tune in. That's happening probably around 11:45, 12 noon tomorrow, right here live on this channel. And of course, it will be the audio version on Apple Podcasts as well. It is great to see all of you as always. Love having you here. Love seeing all of your comments. Much appreciate all of it. We will talk some more tomorrow.